Well, let's stand, okay, as we read Mark chapter 5 for our message today. Why follow Christ? Okay, why follow Christ? As we want to embark on the next 1 year, we're looking at the whole area of discipleship. And just some simple lessons week by week. Hopefully, we will take it seriously so that we can truly be called disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 5, verse 18, just one verse, then we'll pray, then we'll go into the message itself. Okay, ready? Let's read together. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 18. Ready? 1, 2, go. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love toward us. And as we just sit at your feet today, right now, over the next 45 minutes, as you open your word, help us to understand why, Lord, this man who has been possessed with the devil wanted to be with you. And Father, may the same reasons he had to follow you be the same reasons that we have in following you. We ask you to teach us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, just now someone actually talked about charismatic leaders. I didn't really read the article, but I was looking through what characteristics make up a charismatic leader. I'm not talking about charismatic church leader, right? The word charismatic has the idea of someone who is very influential, able to draw great crowds, okay? Not clouds, crowds, all right? So what makes up a charismatic leader? Anyone? You just throw... What makes up a charismatic leader? Must have charisma, thank you. Okay. Okay. I must have charisma. Okay, what else? What is charisma? What makes a charisma? That people will want to follow. Confidence, okay, confidence when doing things, carrying himself, yeah. What else? Okay, I was searching the internet, just kind of looking. There was one article, just a simple article. It actually said, what characteristics make up a charismatic leader, okay? So, this particular person actually highlighted 5. Number one, he said, he must be, in terms of his physical appearance, he must be pleasant to the eyes. Alright, he must be pleasant to the eyes. Alright, number one. Okay, I think how many of you have heard of what you call power dressing? Have you heard of power dressing? Power dressing is the idea in executive business banks or big executives whereby they dress in a certain way to show something. So men will come in suits and all that. Ladies also come in suits, tie and pants, you know. Power dressing, they do up their hair in a certain way. Power dressing, okay, whereby through their dressing, they are sending a message. Don't play a fool with me, okay? You better listen. Oh, that kind of thing, all right? That's what physical appearance, number one. Number two, another characteristic, make good speaker, can talk. Okay? This article about being able to carry himself, able to speak. And I think you know also, empty vessels do make the most noise, all right? But this is one of the characteristics, okay? Another characteristic that makes up a charismatic leader is someone who has good listening skills, able to listen to people. All right, and another one is people who are generally very positive about life. You know, wow, they are always exuberant, like Anthony Robbins, this kind of people. I haven't really heard him, and he's probably coming from a very worldly perspective. But you know what? People who motivate people. Another one is generally motivational people. That when you're around them, you always get something out of them. Okay, so these are the 5 characteristics. So in this story, in Mark chapter 5, I'm sure many of us have known this story. It's about a demoniac, someone who has been possessed with the devil. Okay, and after he was rescued from his particular demon possession, the Bible says in Mark 5:18, the word prayed means literally to beg Jesus that he might be with him. Might be with him. Now, based on the world's view of charismatic leaders, let's look, why did this man actually want to follow Jesus? Okay, firstly, physical appearance. The Bible says Jesus was a common Jew. Even the soldiers had problems identifying him in the dark, remember? Okay, remember he actually had to tell Judas Iscariot, and Judas, the religious leaders, said, how do we identify who is the right person? They're all the same, Jews. What did they do? Kiss, okay? To whom I kiss, that's the man, alright? So Judas Iscariot could recognize Jesus. So Jesus had common physical appearance. Was he a good speaker? The Bible did not say he was a good speaker, but he did make sense when he spoke. The Bible says many times that the people were astonished at his doctrine because he spoke as one having authority. Okay? So, good speaker? Well, maybe our Lord was. Another one was, I'm sure the Lord has good listening skills. Okay? He's always sympathetic. The next one was, in the world, people have to be positive in order to draw people. You know, our Lord had a message, and his words were direct. You know what his words said? Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Alright? I'm not too sure whether he were very positive about that, but he was very clear about his message. You know, the Bible actually says that many people heard him, but many people actually walked away from him too, in John chapter 6. So why did this man follow Christ? Why did this demoniac follow Christ? And can I say this, not only did this man follow Christ, so did Peter, so did James, so did John, so did Andrew, so did Bartholomew, so did the 3,000 in Acts chapter 2, so did the 5,000 in Acts chapter 4, so did the 50,000 in Acts chapter 6, when the church were gathered already because it grew so big they had problems. Tradition or church history tells us that by Acts chapter 6, the church grew to 50,000 already. So did Dorcas in the Bible who followed and were good, full of good deeds. So did Lydia in the Bible, not this Lydia, but this Lydia too, they followed God in the Bible. So did Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. So did Lazarus in John chapter 11. Why did these people follow Christ? So did many millions of Christians follow Christ all through history. They followed Christ from day one. They lived their lives for Christ, and many gave their lives for Christ. Question is, what makes them follow Christ to the end? We want to study Mark chapter 5. I'll give you three reasons why the demoniac follow Christ, and hopefully we can see that for ourselves. All right, I need you to follow along. All right, Mark chapter 5 verse 1 and 2. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. Okay, you know what's the country of the Gadarenes? This may be interesting for people who are following the Israel conflict. It's the place of the Golan Heights, okay, around that area. Okay, and when he was coming to the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. First point, why did this demoniac follow Christ? Number one, because the Lord Jesus Christ saved him from death. Right? The word death means separation. Death is represented by the tombstones in which this man is living among. Does it make sense? This man was living in the tombstones. When a person is born in sin, in Psalm 51 in verse 5, the Bible says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." I want all of us to follow along, because I want us to have in our mind a very clear reason why we follow Christ. And I believe this demoniac actually has the reasons. But I will draw from Scripture to tell us why we need to follow Christ. Okay? So in Psalm 51, when we were born in sin. In Romans 6:23, the Bible is clear. The wages of sin is death. Because of sin, there comes a death. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, the Bible says, as in Adam, all die. Do you realize you and I, when we are born, we are destined to die? When I was doing my course in Australia, in I want to say doctrine of geriatrics. No, is that if you look at geriatrics, is generally about older people before they die. And one of the theories they had was a theory of aging. You know what's the theory? One of the theories said we are actually programmed from day one to die. The moment we are born, one of the theories they had in secular universities of which I was trained in. They believe, the theorists, the scientists believe that once a person is born, they are born to die. Their body has been programmed for death. They don't know why, but Christians, do you know why? Because the wages of sin is death. We do have an answer for that, but the world doesn't. But you know, the Bible says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. If you're a Christian today, recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved you from eternal death. Okay? Now, Maybe we need to describe this death a little bit. Because yeah, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. But why is it that some Christians are still not motivated? Well, Christ saved me from eternal death. Yeah, I'm a Christian. So what? What kind of death was this demoniac saved from? Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, this man had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. Number one, what kind of death did we have? It was a helpless death. No one could help him. Can I say this? When this man's condition was so bad that no one could help him, because the Bible says no one could bind him, neither could any man tame him. Can you imagine this? No one that you turn to could help you from eternal death. Now, there are some times when help is, given, we will reject that help. Okay, now that is pride. But you know, but in this situation, this demoniac controlled by the demons couldn't even help. People wanted to help. It was helpless. They couldn't do anything. This man's condition was so bad, not only could no one help him, nothing could help him. Look at verse 4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. This man was helpless. He was hopeless. He was helpless. The Bible says also, dear believer, do you realize that you were helpless before you became a Christian? Do you realize if the Lord Jesus didn't interrupt your life by someone knocking at the door? Do you realize you can go through life? Some of you may live in life of comfort and ease, and the support that people around you, but you are helpless when it comes to death. No one could actually help you in death. When it comes to dealing with the state of your spiritual life, you and I were spiritually dead on our way to hell and exposed to the eternal judgment of God. And you know what? Another thing, this man, remember he was demon-possessed? He was hopelessly controlled by the evil one. Hopelessly controlled by the evil one. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, I'll just read the verses. Wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world. In other words, when you were living this life, you were living according to the principles of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Children, I want you to listen to this verse. Every time we are disobedient, we are listening to who? The spirit of disobedience. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Do you realize disobedience, I'll just pick it plainly from scripture, is satanic, is rebellion against God and what is right. And let's put it this way, many of us, before we were Christians, we could only do the wrong things. Sometimes we do the right things with the wrong intention. We give to the money, maybe, or we help someone because we want someone else to, wow, good, 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 good. Or we want someone to praise us. When we were not a Christian, we were hopelessly controlled by the evil one. In John 8:44, Jesus was very clear with the Pharisees, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he, referring to Satan, speaks a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus told those people who were not saved, you are of your father the devil. Can you imagine? I'm not suggesting for you when you share the gospel with someone to say, you are of your father the devil. Alright, I'm not saying that. But you know what? As we become Christian, we begin to understand, hey, where was I from? I was a child of the devil based on God's word. We were hopelessly controlled by the evil one. Nothing we do, no matter how good it is, could please God, could earn God's favor. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, the Bible says here, we all are as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. If you will study the word filthy rags, I don't even want to mention the meaning of filthy rags in this congregation because there's children involved. It is so filthy that when you study it for yourself, you understand what I mean. It is totally detestable. God cannot even mention it. We humanly, when we look at it, it's like, how can I even have that in my... God says our good works are as filthy rags before God. This was this man's condition. This is our wretched condition. But you know one more point. This demoniac could not even help himself. He could only what? Hurt himself. Look at verse 5. And always night and day, he was in the mountains and the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Can I say this? There are many people out there who are hurting themselves with alcohol. There are many people out there who are hurting themselves, gambling, hoping to make some money. How many of you read this guy who won and then lost his money and then had $70,000 debt? Thank God he's out of debt. But you know what, son? Why do you realize there were consequences to his actions? The family? What happened to the family? Can I say this? Sin always destroys. When we were in the condition of sin, we could only hurt ourselves. You know, every time we scold someone, we're hurting ourselves. You know why? We cut off that friendship with that person. We hurt someone else. That person may not even want to come. And we think we are okay. It's strange that many times when people do wrong, they think they're okay. You know how the devil deceives us into thinking that we are okay. So this person could not even help himself. He could only hurt himself. Can you imagine? Night and day, all he could do was to cut himself. No one wanted to be with him. He was socially ostracized. He was isolated. There was no help whatsoever. There are situations in this life, Christian, if you reflect, that no one can help you. Not even yourself. I'll give you an example. I have a knee problem. How many of you have knee problems? Okay, some of you have knee problems. Okay. Can I say to myself, knee? Get better. Then it's better, right? I can apply ointment, I can see the doctor, I can go x-ray, but my knee is still the same. It's degenerated. But I cannot heal myself. I can't heal myself. I cannot help myself. Some of you may be in situations that you will say, Brother Johnny, don't worry, I can take care of a situation. You know what? I'm very concerned in those situations. Because the Bible always tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:12, let a man thinketh he standeth, let him take heed, lest he fall. I have seen many Christians fallen when they think they can stand. But you know what? Even before we were Christians, we were helplessly controlled. But listen to the scriptures. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. In Romans 5 and verse 8, but God commended, demonstrated, showed, poured His heart out, demonstrated His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, rebellious against God, what happened? Christ died in our place. In verse 10, Romans 5, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we are saved by His life. Christians, number one, the demoniac followed Christ because he was saved from death. Amen. This demoniac followed Christ because he was saved from death. The Lord Jesus Christ saved him from death. If you are a Christian today, may I say the Lord Jesus Christ saved you from an eternal death that you and I deserve. That's the first reason this demoniac followed Christ. Number two, in Mark chapter 5, verse 6, as we move on. But when he saw Jesus, okay, so the first part we talk about his death, the tombstones, the cutting himself, he was hopeless. But Jesus was saving from death. But in verse 6, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Question for you, why did the man run towards the Lord Jesus Christ? Why did he run towards the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever wondered why? Look at verse 7. How did he respond? The Bible says he worshipped him, but look at verse 7. He cried with a loud voice. Literally, he shouted at him. I'm not going to shout because it's going to burst your eardrums. Okay? But you know, literally, this demoniac will probably run to Jesus, worship, and say, scream at the Lord Jesus Christ. Shout with a loud voice, the Bible says. What have I to do with thee? In other words, what business do I have with you now? Jesus, thou Son of the Most High, I adjure thee that thou torment me not. Now, there was worship initially, then there was shouting at the Lord Jesus Christ. There was two different responses of this demoniac to Christ, okay? To the presence of Christ. Now, some biblical principles. Number one, all demonic spirits are in subjection to Christ, yes? Alright, that's what the Bible says. You will find that the demon spirits in the Bible always bow before the Lord Jesus Christ whenever He was present. Okay? In Luke chapter 4, verse 41, and the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And He, rebuking them, allowed them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that He was Christ. In James chapter 2, verse 19, Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils believe and tremble. So when Jesus appeared, they ran towards Him. Was it really to worship Him? Was it really to worship Him? They had to. Do you realize the demons had no choice? Do you realize the demons have no choice but to worship Jesus because it's for their good? They better go in. You know why? Because they knew two things. Number one, the demon spirits knew who Jesus was. But number two, they knew where they were headed. So in that situation, the demons were, oh no, He's come. Do you think He's going to throw us in now? It means in the lake of fire now. That's why He said, I beg of you, don't throw us in now. We go into the pigs. We come out of Him, we go into the pigs. Now, let me ask you this question here. Now, Brother Johnny, are you saying that the reason why the man came to worship the Lord Jesus was because of the evil spirits? The reason the man came to worship Christ, the man ran towards Christ, right? Was because of the demon spirits, not because himself. Think about that for a while. Not because he wanted to come to Christ, but the demon spirits was in total control of him. Now, then what about the man himself? The Bible tells us that we are dead in sin. And according to this passage, apparently the demon spirits have so deranged the man or make him so crazy that he was not able to respond to the Lord Jesus in an appropriate way. This is exactly how many non-believers respond when they hear the name of Christ. How many of you trusted Christ the first time you heard the name of Christ? Put up your hand. Why? Do you realize that God in His mercy kept pressing on you? The first time you trust Christ, the first time you heard about Christ, I know some people who took years before they trust Christ. Why? Because we are so sinful in our thinking that the light of God has difficulty penetrating into our hearts. Because the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 18, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. This is a condemnation that light is come into the world. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. The reason why we cannot see the light of God initially was simply because we were so darkened by our sin. We prefer our sin. Can I just apply this aside? Some of us Christians today still prefer our sin, even though we have seen the light. But for this demoniac, the reason why the demons knew we better quiet. We better listen because otherwise he's going to throw us into the abyss. But the man was not in control of himself at this point. In Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him, Christ, the sins of us all, the iniquity of us all. Now, let's look on to Mark chapter 5, verse 8. But hold that thought for a while. What happened to this man? This man wasn't able to do anything. In Mark 5, verse 8, for when he said unto them, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit, and he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. For we are many. Demons sometimes, okay, this is just the doctrine of Satan, which we won't go into a lot, but sometimes demons literally possess a man in legions, literally hundreds and hundreds of demons possessing that person. Okay, we do not know the background of this person. There were many occultic practices during that time. And that's why our Christian warcraft, pictures with demonic spirits in computer games. You know why they put that there? Number one, to desensitize you. But you need to be very careful, because those are questionable things. God said, abstain from all appearance of evil. Which means that that should not be even in your homes. Not even the magazines. Because unless you want to invite Mr. S.A. Tan into your homes. I can tell you, rock music is another thing of rebellion. And children, teenagers, if you listen to that kind of song, no wonder sometimes you do not want to obey your parents. You find, why must you tell me what to do? Because rock music breeds rebellion. Satanic music. Many. We thank God that the devil can never possess a Christian. All right? I'll make it very clear. God says, I will not give my glory to another. God, the temple of God belongs to God. God's not going to change that. But you know what? Satan suddenly can oppress you, live in the flesh to the point that you cannot do what he tells you to do. So in verse 10, and then the demons continued and said, and besought him that he would not send them out of the country. Now there was some nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine, pigs, okay, feeding. And there's a reason why our Muslim friends don't eat pork, because they believe that devils are inside pork. That's one of the reasons. Because Jesus cast the demons into the pigs. And so pig equals to pork. So you don't eat. So no pork, pig. Yeah? Okay, this is one of the reasons why, okay? And the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And for which Jesus gave them leave. Okay, and the unclean spirit went down and then ran violently down in the steep place and they were all drowned. 2,000 2,000 pigs, okay, was drowned in the sea. The sea level must have rose for a while. Based on this passage, let me give you four things before I move on to the next point. Number one, when Jesus dealt with the demonic spirits, number one, the Lord Jesus is all-powerful. All-powerful, okay? In Psalm 66, verse 3, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. The psalmist says, look, God, you are so powerful. All your enemies must submit to you. That's exactly what happened in this man's life. Okay, this one. Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things on earth, and things under the earth. You know what it means? Heaven, earth, under the earth. Well, that covers what? It covers everything. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the sovereign one. His power, he's all powerful. Number one, the Lord Jesus is omnipotent because he's God. Number two, Jesus have already defeated the evil one. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Satan had power over death. You know why? Because Satan can make you sin, and sin leads to death. But Jesus overcame sin. Amen? He was a pure, sinless Son of God. And when he overcame sin at the cross, he overcame death. When he died, he went into death and broke out of it, telling Satan, you no longer have the power of death. I do. That's why in Revelation 1, I am he that was dead, and now I'm alive forevermore. And he challenged John during the time and said, look, I am the one that's alive. And I oversee the churches today in Revelation 1. So Jesus have defeated the evil one. 1 John 3 verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Let me apply this aside. Christian, there is no sin in your life that you cannot overcome. Amen? There is nothing in your life you say, oh, I cannot control myself, I'm always angry. No, God says that Jesus came to control, to destroy the sin, the things in your life. You cannot say anymore that you cannot control myself. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Everything that the devil put on you, Jesus can destroy. Alright? So Christians, I want you to be encouraged. There is nothing in your life that you want to overcome for the glory of God, you can. Because Jesus has destroyed that. Then number three, Jesus is able to deal with every sin and every difficulty and every problem of man. Because the Bible says, Jeremiah 32 verse 12, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Christians, do you believe this verse? Some of you go through trials and temptations and difficult things. You know, "I cannot take it, God, why like that?" You know, we always, "Why, God?" You know what God says? "Is there anything too hard for me?" Just because we don't see the process doesn't mean it's not happening. Just because we don't see things happening doesn't mean it's not happening. Remember the story I told about this lady who did not serve God for 5 years, thinking that God was unfaithful? I'll tell you the story again. There was this man, very rich. This soldier, very rich. He just came out from camp and he was walking along. He was discharged that day. He was going home. He was a Christian. And so as a car passed by, he flagged it because he wanted to go home. He sat down. He was a Christian and there was this man who was very well-dressed. But he wasn't a Christian, about 50 years old. So as he was driving, I think it was May the 8th. And so as he was driving, this Christian knew that, okay, about half an hour's time, I'm going to reach my place. And so half an hour before, he started to share the gospel with this rich man at about 50 years old, this man. And this man actually drove to the side. And then he actually prayed to accept Christ there and then. All right, he trusted Christ. And this guy, woo, he was glad. 5 years later, this same soldier who was sharing the gospel with this man was in a particular city which this man had a great big company in. And he thought, "Oh, maybe I should visit this man whom I've led to Christ to see what happened to him." Okay, and so he wanted to meet this man, but you know, the man wasn't there. And he said, "But you can see the wife who's in charge of the company now." And then the wife, he actually asked, "Where is Mr. So-and-so?" And so the wife said, "Well, how did you know him?" So the man was a little bit not too sure whether or not to share that he trusted Christ. And so, but in the end, he did say, "Well, ma'am, I met him 5 years ago on this same day. Or rather, I led him to Christ. I just wanted to come and see what happened to him." And then the wife asked, "When did you speak to him about Christ and he trusted Christ?" He said, "The 8th of May, the day that I was discharged from the army." You know what? She broke into tears. You know why? She said, "Sir, for the last 5 years, I thought God was unfaithful to me for not saving my husband. I prayed for so many years for my husband to be saved. And the day that he died because he was involved in a car accident after that, I said, God, I will never serve you." Just because we don't see the process doesn't mean God is not at work. Children, just because you don't see how mommy cook the food doesn't mean there will not be dinner. Amen? How many of you know how the chicken... are you ordering chicken rice or whatever? Yolk? No. So what are you going to eat after this? Huh? Well, okay, you'll bring, right? How many of you, some of you teenagers will eat afterwards, right? Are you concerned that you won't have lunch? Are you concerned, say, "Mom, did you bring lunch? Did you cook? Did you put the salt in? Did you... Just because we don't see the process doesn't mean it's not happening. Christians, can I ask you to trust God more? Can I ask you to trust God more? You know, sometimes we need to look at our lives and say, look, God is asking us today, is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard? We don't live by sight. We live by the promises of God. You know, the economy can fall flat. God can still bring bread. Amen. Remember Elijah, when there was famine? He had special delivery every day. And you know how, you see, my pastor in Australia, he didn't make a joke, but you know what? He had this imagination. You know where the ravens got the food to give to Elijah? Can you imagine, every time before breakfast, lunch and dinner, King Ahab would have a problem. All these ravens will be coming into his house and getting all the food. And these ravens, he's like, "Where are all these birds coming from, you know?" And the ravens will take the food, and Elijah is just sitting down there, living by the promises of God. And say, God, let's turn there. I want to show you a particular verse. It's very interesting. 1 Kings chapter number 18, I believe. 1 Kings. And I believe it's a very important principle point for a disciple of Christ to understand. 1 Kings, it just came to my mind. Chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 4. This is what God told Elijah. So verse 3 first. 1 Kings 17 verse 3 and 4. Get thee hence. This is what God told Elijah. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward. Notice very specific. Huh? You go west, you're in trouble. Okay, must go east. And hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Circle the word there, at least in your mind. God say, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. In other words, you will not get your happy meal if you are not there. Children, you will not get your happy meal if you don't listen to your daddy and mommy. Okay? That's basically it. Obedience. But you know what is this? Why are you smiling, Isa? You know what is this? You know what? God told Elijah, you go there. I'm going to ask the ravens. The ravens are bad birds. Okay? They're not very friendly birds. But God said, I'm going to ask these unfriendly birds to feed you. See, even the birds don't have a choice, do they? All creation is in subjection to God. Feed you there. Is there a there that God wants you to be in? You see, Elijah, as he sat there, you know what? He may be singing a song, he may be doing writing. I don't know whether they have paper at the time. Well, yeah, maybe they have. What do you think Elijah was doing? Say, God, I'm going to send the ravens today. God, I'm a bit hungry already. You know what? I don't think it's like that. Because Elijah lived by the promises of God. God says, I want to get... Christians, God gave you a promise. My God shall supply what? All your needs according to His riches in glory. Believest thou this? Do you believe this? And God is asking today, Christian, is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is able to do with every sin, every difficulty, every problem of man. But you know what? Number four, I love this. He is willing to help you. I was meditating on this and it dawned on me. I read a few verses here for you. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 and 3, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. There was this leper who came to Jesus and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. In other words, this leper have already trusted Christ. Meaning that, Lord, I know you can. If you are willing, you are able to make me clean. You know what Jesus says? I will, be thou clean. So Jesus was willing. But you know what? Let's read Isaiah 43. I think it's in your verses there. There is something which touched my heart as I was reading these verses. God says in Isaiah 43 verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not discouraged or dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Do you know what that means? You know what God says? I've already decided. I'm already there. I am already there. In your darkness, in your rivers, I am already there. I will be with thee. Alright, I'm sorry if I burst your eardrums. I want to impress on you. God, our Heavenly Father says, I will be with you. I've already decided. The word will means decision. I've already decided I will be with you in your trials. I will be with you when you cry. I will be with you when you go through the hard time. I will be with you when you find there's no help. I will be with you. That's our God. This is the very Savior that says, I love you. And I've already decided. You don't have to doubt God. Amen. The promises of God. I will be with thee. Oh yes, sometimes it's hard to see the darkness. So hard sometimes. But you know what? Though we are unfaithful, perhaps like this demoniac, we may even be doubting Christ. Yet He abides faithful. The word faithful means full of trust, trustworthy. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I want us to know that the Lord Jesus Christ stands ever to ready to minister to our needs. He is closer to us than we even want to acknowledge. We oftentimes forget Him. He doesn't forget us. Amen. He just never forgets us. How can He? He has graven us in the palm of His hand. Amen, Isaiah. God has put us in the palm of His hand. Something in the palm of your hand is just like when you are carrying a baby. I remember, if I can use Sister Wei-Chen, when Jeremiah was born, Sister Wei-Chen, I don't know if you remember, you were holding Jeremiah and you don't know how to hold. You know what? God treats us so tenderly. We are in the palm of His hand. Neither shall any man pluck you out of my hand. John chapter 10. That's the love God has for us, Christian. I tell you the second reason why this demoniac followed Christ. Because of Christ's great love for him. That when no one cared about him, Jesus knew he's got to go through gatherings where the demoniac was. What is the meaning of love? Unconditional love is a desire for, is there? And a delight in the well-being of the one loved, leading to active and self-sacrificing efforts on their behalf. You know, our God loved us so much, He would do all we can to help Him. I want you to remember this because we are going to apply that to us. Okay? Let's move on. Mark chapter 5, verse 14-15. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. And they that saw it told him how it befell him that was possessed with the devils and also concerning the swine. I want us to notice what the Lord Jesus Christ did for this man. This man was dead, yes? The tombstones, he was dead, so like we. But now he's alive in Christ. He was hopeless, no one and nothing could help him. Now he's free in Christ and filled with the hope of heaven. He was mentally deranged. In other words, he couldn't respond at all because he was so involved in sin. To the point that he even shouted at Christ, but now he's in his right mind. In the past, he was bound. He was bound by his demons. He was bound by the past life. He was bound by things of the past. But now he's free because the Bible says, John 8:36, if the Son shall therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free. Indeed, if you have truly trusted Christ, there is nothing in your past that will hold you back. And I'm not a motivational speaker. This is what Jesus said. If you have truly trusted Him, you have put your life in His hand. He says, he that believeth on me had everlasting life. Jesus says what He means and He means what He says. I am come that ye might have life and that ye might have it more abundantly. John chapter 10 verse 10. God says that He gave us life. Not, I go to work again. Not that kind of life, life of joy. And you know what? God set this past guy, this man free. From that sinful past. And some of you may have been bound by your past, even as a Christian. Can I say Jesus came to set you free? But you know what? You need to surrender that first. You know what? I can have cancer in my life. I can have my knee problem. But if I don't listen to the doctor to deal with it, the doctor can help me to have a better, I went to the polyclinic and I've never met a doctor that spoke so much. You know, she was telling me stories about this and that. No, I thought, doctor, see you and then go out. But this doctor was telling me stories. But no, she shared with me a story about this particular lady at 60 and his leg was like, just bore really bad, you know. And she was recommended for a total knee replacement. And then after the operation, the doctor was saying she was dressed so nicely and everything was, she was like totally. You know what the lady told her? No, doctor, I wish I've done this earlier. I wish I've done this earlier. I wish I had my total knee. I went through so much pain. I went through so much for all those years. And all I had to do was have a total knee replacement. My life would be changed. Hello, Christian. Are you living in the kind of condition whereby you're always defeated? You cannot overcome? You know what? You just need Christ to be in charge of your life. You just need Christ to control your life, because the Bible says the Son will make you free. He will. I don't know about you, but I think some of us do have a past. But isn't it glad he's all under the blood? Never. Okay. The demons of the past of this man's life is gone, because Jesus has set him free. Like I say, I'm not a motivational speaker. This is what the Bible says. Zacchaeus was free from his dishonesty. Amen? Lying. After he trusted Christ in Luke chapter 19, Zacchaeus said, "Lord, half of my belongings I give to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I pay him back fourfold." And then Jesus says, "Today is salvation come to this house. For as much as the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which was lost." Luke chapter 19, verse 10. So many people set free. The Lord Jesus did this for him. Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ did this for you. Did you know, even though you didn't believe it, Christ have already set you free from your past? Did you know that? It's just like a child in an adoption, maybe an orphanage, for example. No one wanted them. You know, the child may say, I'm lovely and no one wants me. But the day that someone actually signs a paper, Johnny Tan belongs to me now. I can resist, I can don't believe this person, but you know, it's signed and paid for, amen? That's what Jesus did on the cross. Did you realize that? When you trusted Christ, He's already paid the debt. Question, after all that Christ has done for us, now, this man has been set free. What will you now do with your life? What will you do with your life? Now that this man has set free, what did he do? Notice in verse 18. When he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee, and had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus has done for him, and all men did marvel. When we know that someone has done something nice for us, children, what do we do when someone has done something nice to us? What do you do? If somebody gave you something or do something nice, what do, children? Oh, come. I say, thank you. See, you do something nice to me, I say thank you. Okay? When a person has saved us from death, you know, we will never forget that person. I was just reading the disaster on the 29th of January, 1983, the Anywhere Talk, you know, the cable car disaster in Singapore, 1983, when the Anywhere Talk, which was actually a Norwegian or oil rig, just went under the cable car, and one of the top masts actually hooked. How many of you were born before 1983? Some of you don't even know what happened. Okay. Anyway, there was this Anywhere Talk, an oil rig, okay, which actually have a mast, which was higher. Unfortunately, I think someone didn't take note or whatever. They didn't realize that the mast on top of this oil rig was just slightly higher than the cable car cables. And so as it went under there, it actually hit the cables and the cable car actually swung. Okay, you can Google it, 29th of January 1983. And what happened was immediately after that, some of the cable cars actually shook. Some of the doors opened, and literally some people were flung out of there to die, you know, in the grave. And the others were hanging precariously on the cable cars. And that was a real drama from 6 p.m. onward. You know, the RSAF came in, and the winchmen came. We thank God for the RSAF, amen. They came out with the rescue men. They were, at that time, there was this man, I think his name, I can't remember, it was a lance corporal. Okay, he came down, the rescue team was dispatched amidst the dark conditions. They lowered them from the helicopter. It was a strong winds. At that time, you know who was in charge of the operation? Lee Hsien Loong. All right, he was a general at that time, he was in charge of the whole rescue operation. The chopper was very hard to hover because the winds were strong. It was high up in the air. But you know what? The men literally had to, they secured themselves, they winched out. If you know helicopters, there's this what we call it? Flush. Downwash. Okay? Downwash is very strong, right? Those people who have experienced helicopters, the wind is strong. They had to come down literally to the cable car, pinpoint accuracy, open the door, go in and say, "Hi, we're here to save you." That was exactly what happened. Right? And we're here to save you, you know. And of course, people were shivering. There were people inside there. There were some foreigners there as well. They said, "Ma'am, don't worry about this, you know. We'll take care of you." And so one by one, one of them said, "Well, nice view, isn't it?" You know, trying to encourage them as they went up. And there was one particular boy. He was 5 years old at that time. Some of you may have read or seen on Channel News Asia his story about... his name is Mr. Singh. Right? He was Mr. Singh. Now he's 30-plus years old. And, you know, many years past, of course, he saw his dad died, grandma died, because he flew up, basically flung out of the... You know, he was just glad to be alive. And 24, 25 years later, he came back to meet the man who saved him out of that. He just said, "I just wanted to meet you and say how much, say great thank you for what you've done to save me that night." It was 25 years ago. And all this while, of course, he lived with the trauma of his dad and grandmother being flung out. But you know what? He was thankful he was alive because someone risked their life. You know, I was watching, you know what's a motto? I'm not too sure. I'm trying to Google today. I'm not too sure. So correct me if I'm wrong. You know what's a motto of the 120 Squadron? The rescue team? Oh, it's very interesting. I was looking at the badge. You know what's the motto? That they may live. That was back in the 1980s. 120 Squadron, the rescue, search and rescue squadron, that they may live. Yes. Yeah. Okay. He remembered that. Yeah, amen. You can remember his memory. And so it happened. But you know what? It touched my heart. People having to risk their lives. Those are lance corporals. And everything was dark that they may live. You know, the demoniac was so thankful. I can only assume that he wanted to be with Christ. Okay. Let me ask you: would this be an unreasonable attitude? That after someone has saved you, that you want to be with that person? Is it an unreasonable attitude? You know, in 1 John 4:19, the Bible says, we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. The desire of this demoniac was this. He demonstrated the desire of loving the Lord Jesus is demonstrated in this demoniac wanting to be with Christ. Christian, do you spend time on a daily basis with the Savior who lived and died and rose again for you? Do you desire that time? In Mark 5:18, the Bible says what? He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So that was the first desire of this. The first desire of the saved demon-possessed man was to be with Christ. Literally, the word to be with him literally means, if you study the word, it means to stand with Christ, to identify with Christ. In other words, if you apply it modern day for our Christianity, literally, when you go into a situation, the first thing you tell people, and when they ask you, "Yeah, my name is so-and-so, I'm a Christian. I identify myself with Christ." There are so many Christians today who rather be secret agent Christians, 007. You know 007? You know what 007? Never mind, it's okay. You don't need to know about that anyway. Secret agent Christians, that they don't want people to know. Why? Because otherwise, it will be very hard to maneuver their lives. But you know what? The first thing the Bible says, literally, this man wanted to be identified, to be with Christ. The word "be" literally means to identify with, to stand with. In his company. Number two, the desire of this man was also demonstrated by a life of obedience. Noting Jesus said, "No, I don't want you to stay here." In Mark 5:19, "Howbeit Jesus suffer him not, but go unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee, and the compassion on thee." You know, for us, no, I want to feel the closeness of Christ all the time. I need to be in church to worship Jesus. You know, you know why we come to church? So that God, someone else can be helped. Do you know why in this situation they didn't go to the priest to declare anything? You know what the Lord Jesus said? You go back to your friends. The word "friends" literally means close relatives. Friends, family, relatives. You know what Jesus says? You had your life that was demon possessed. People ostracize you. People isolate you. Go back and tell them what I've done for you. Literally, this desire was demonstrated by a life of obedience by this man. Because the Bible says after he said that, he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis. You know what? This man wasn't only obedient to Christ, but he went home and testified of God's goodness, but he went and did more than what the Lord commanded. Did you know that? Did you know this man not only went back to his friends? Jesus says, you go back to your friends. You know what he did? He went back to his friends. I'm sure he did. And then he went to the whole city of Decapolis to tell them. In other words, he became a missionary. He gave his life entirely to tell of one message. I've been saved from my life. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ can save you too. He gave his whole life to serve Christ. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 5:15, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live Christians should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. In 1 Samuel 12, verse 4, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things God has done for you. Christians, if Christ has saved you from hell and death, he has set you on a higher plane, he has made you free, he has done great things. You know what Samuel said to the Israelites? Fear God and serve him in truth with all your heart. Because consider what great things. Why must we follow Christ? Because he loved us. Brother Johnny, it took a whole hour just to explain that. You know, I could just say, you need to follow Christ because he loves you. But unless we are impressed in our hearts how much Jesus Christ loved us, we will never see the need to follow him totally. As we close, do you realize as a Christian that you are saved from eternal death? Christians, I'm not giving you this a Sunday school lesson. Do you realize deep down in your heart that without Christ, you would be gone, doomed, condemned? What is your response? What is the proper response? Is your life changed since you follow Christ? Just like this demoniac. Is your attitude and character changed since you followed him? Will your family be blessed because you follow Christ? I can tell you, a person who genuinely follow Christ, the family will be blessed. Will be blessed. Or do we give excuse why we cannot follow Christ? You realize there was one group I didn't talk about? There was this group of men, when he saw that this demon-possessed man was healed, you know what they did? Get lost! Don't come here again! Because of you, we lost our 2,000 pigs! They were more concerned about themselves. Christians, what is your response? You know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If Christ has saved you, he saved you from hell. Some of you teenagers need to think, is Jesus that great? If he is, what are you going to do? Are you going to just pursue your studies? I can tell you, by the time you reach 17, 18, 19, young teenagers, you're going to go into your tertiary education or whatever career you want. I can tell you, the light of Christ when you have when you're young begins to get dimmer and dimmer. You know why? The responsibilities of the world begins to increase. That's why Solomon in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 1 says what? Remember thy creator in the days of your youth before the evil years come when you will say, I have no pleasure in living. There will come a time you are so bogged down with the things of this world, you will not care about Christ. Christian, can I ask you, are you today so bogged down with the things of this world? You have no place for Christ. You have many reasons why you don't serve Christ. Can I ask you, is the love of Christ enough motivation for you to follow him? Let's bow for the prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Lord, there are many things still can be said. But I thank you, Lord, for this example of the demon-possessed man. Lord, thank you, we are not demon-possessed. But Father, the parallels are the same. We were dead in sin. But yet, Lord, because of your great love, you loved us, you saved us. And Lord, in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, how you had compassion on this man. you had compassion on love because of your great love, Lord. You will always be with us, and we thank you for that. Lord, as we leave this place today, we pray that you would burn in our hearts a desire, Lord, to follow you. With eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around, I just want to ask. Don't be swayed by how I shouted, but be swayed by the small, still voice that perhaps God is speaking to your heart today. Because if you follow men, I can tell you, you will fall, but if you follow Christ and His Word, you will never fall. That's what Christ promised in Matthew 7. If you will hear His Word and do what He says, your house will be upon a rock. And saying, Brother Johnny, pray for me. I know Jesus loves me. But maybe sometimes the things of this life blur that vision a bit. Help me to have a consistent daily time with my Savior who loves me so much so that I can be a blessing to others as well. Christians, can I ask you, would you be identified with Christ to be with Him? Would you make your stand and say, Lord, you love me. I will love you and be your disciple. If that is your testimony, I don't know how God is working in your heart, but if you are saying, Brother Johnny, pray for me, help me, then God will put the correct motivation in my life. And I believe with the Scriptures, the only right motivation to following Christ is because you love Him, nothing else. Not because of what the pastor say, not because of anyone say, but because you love Christ. You're saying, Brother Johnny, pray for me, that as Jesus loves me, I want to love Him back and follow Him. Is there anyone like that? Just pull up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Amen, I see that hand. Amen. Amen, I see that hand too. To follow Christ, to trust Him. Amen, I see that hand. Yes, there may be. Amen, I see that hand. You know what? Many of you, thank God, amen, put it down, and pray in your hearts, God, help me. You know, I'm not saying there will not be struggles. Yes, amen, put up a hand and put it down. Okay. For children, their teenagers, as adults, as family people, you know, teenagers, you need to follow Christ too. Life is short. Is there anyone else? Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that I will learn to love. How do I show that I love Christ? Number one, you need to take the step of baptism. You know, baptism is identifying with Christ. That's oftentimes the first hardest thing. But yet it is an important thing because that's what Jesus tells us to do. Unless I'm wrong. But the Bible is very clear. Is there anyone who says, Brother Johnny, pray for me that I would follow Christ with all of my heart? Anyone else? Amen, I see that hand. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, I pray for the believers. God, I cannot control your heart, only you can. And yeah, Lord, I pray that the decisions they are making right now will be personal decisions that will seal their love for you. And that, God, they will love you and walk with you every day of their lives. And that, God, you will continually show them the I wills of the Bible. You have already decided. And I pray that every Christian today will claim your promise of your personal presence. Lord, we may not feel it, but it doesn't mean you're not there. And I'm asking you, Father, to strengthen every sister and every brother with the strength that only comes from God. That God, whatever trials and temptations they may face, they will follow you. And God, we see in the life of this demoniac, yes, he may have a past life, but God, when you make them free, you free them. And God, they gave their lives to you. And Lord, we know that not all of us can go into full time, but God, we certainly can live our Christian lives for your honor and glory. Oh, help us, Lord, to be a true follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. Lord, we thank you. We pray your blessings upon everyone. So we just sing the closing hymn, wherever he leads, I'll follow. I'll go. I pray, God, that you would burn this truth into our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.